If BBC World News didn't exist, would it be founded today? What do you think?
I would like to think absolutely it would do, yes. I feel like there would be a very compelling argument to create it if it didn't already exist. I mean, the BBC's reputation for trusted global news is sort of there with even without the BBC World News channel. And while I think, you know, some might think that 24-hour news TV channels are in decline, or at least intellectually, you might assume that would be the case with the rise of digital. It's clear that that's not the case. You know, our audience figures are growing. We see people turning to TV news in vast numbers, particularly in the last year. I think the role of presenters in delivering trusted news, for example, still has a very, very big role in the news landscape.
Speaking about your audience, what do you know about them? Who turns to BBC World News nowadays?
So we know that 112 million people come to BBC World News every week, and that's up 12% on last year's figures. And we know that our audience come to us for impartial and independent news. They want to hear about the news stories that are shaping the world, and they want to hear about those stories from wherever they come from in the world. And the pandemic, US elections, Brexit, all huge topics with ramifications far, far beyond where they're happening.
You mentioned Brexit. It must be a topic that shaped your program for quite some time, and it still does. Besides Brexit as a journalistic topic, was there any fallout for you as an international broadcaster as far as Brexit is concerned?
No negative fallout, I would say. We certainly haven't seen any indication that people in other countries are no longer turning to the BBC World News as a source of news since Brexit's happened. Obviously, it was a challenging topic for us to cover as an organisation, but one that we felt was incredibly important to report effectively to international audiences.
Fake news and disinformation are two terms journalists have to deal with right now. You consider yourself as the most trusted news brand worldwide. What do you see in your surveys? How does your audience react? Do you see any loss of trust?
Internationally, not at all. In fact, our audience surveys show that our international audience trusts the BBC as much as it ever did. An interesting recent digital news report suggested that, particularly in Northern Europe, 60% of people prefer news that is coming from no particular point of view, and that only a minority of 28% prefer news that kind of reinforces their opinion.
During election night in the US, you were broadcasting nonstop, as did many, many other broadcasters as well. You included special fact checkers. Why did you do that, and what did they do?
That's not specific to the US election coverage that we did. We've got a brand that runs on across our platforms on the BBC News called Reality Check, and that's a team of journalists who are dedicated to fact-checking stories when they come out, fact-checking claims that are made by politicians or others, and that's an incredibly important service that we provide across digital and on TV and radio. The US election was an area where disinformation was a considerable issue.
What is social media for you as an international broadcaster?
Oh, it plays an absolutely crucial role, and in fact, it's growing in importance. We now have a team within our BBC newsroom that's dedicated to sifting through social media posts and videos and checking the veracity and the ownership of those, and trying to use user-generated content, as we call it, in our news output where appropriate. The first person on the scene can often be an eyewitness, and their material that they have shot can be the first draft of history. And it's incredibly important for us to be able to use that kind of material, but also to establish that it's true is a big journalistic task, but a very important one.
You mentioned the pandemic. Your teams are everywhere in the world. Did you have to pull some teams back home?
We didn't really pull teams back home. We have ended up deploying far fewer people to cover big events. We have bureau in 72 cities across 53 countries, probably more journalists in more places than any other broadcaster. So we do have a very, very broad footprint globally.
Your revenue depends on commercials, not on license fees, since the world economy is declining. What consequences does that have for you and your business model in the pandemic?
The commercial environment is very tough. We're not the only organisation that is suffering from the impact of the pandemic. We are planning to bring the channel closer to the public service counterpart, which is the domestic news channel that we have, to maximise the way that we collaborate. And we've had to do that. We had to do that a bit by necessity in the pandemic. and we've learned quite a lot of interesting lessons from it, and I think some of those will continue.
All international broadcasters get in the way of geopolitical strategies from time to time. A current example is the conflict between Great Britain and China about Hong Kong. The British Office of Communications withdrew the license of the Chinese TV because CGTV used its program for political propaganda. And the Chinese, that was expectable, answered with the withdrawal of your license in China. What damage do you see for your company?
The BBC World News has actually never been allowed to broadcast in homes in mainland China. The channel was only ever available in international hotels and compounds and sometimes blacked out even then. So we're obviously disappointed that the Chinese authorities have decided to ban BBC World News from China. You know, we think we play an important role globally, bring fair, impartial news without fear or favour to our audiences.